Last week on the Dice of Thunder podcast.
I like that Muglin dipped out with like a Skeletor level. Of,
next time.
Do more damage until we meet again, He-Man. Ran away. He did mention that there was two people interested, and he was playing both sides.
We still have the stick of pyrite dynamite.
We need to take all that back to Koswana and then Galilee.
We need to let him know that he has his own ingredient that he's adding.
Can we do a deception check to make sure she definitely doesn't have any extra pyrite?
Yes.
Ooh. Okay.
Good idea. I lie to you guys a lot.
Table time.
If both armies had pyrite, the destruction.
Yeah. That's my worry.
Alcanstar's right in the middle. It'd be destroyed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Muglin has made some knockoff, market rate version of my formula. I'm offended.
Call Spirit says you tear the... you know what I think we should do?
What's that?
Try to talk to Balnor.
Oh my
gosh. On Call Spirit?
Can I, since that failed and I'm already moving on, can I search for leads in the city for Loveless?
Angelique Loveless is the daughter of an Osirian paladin. And a river hag.
Whoa.
What?
Making her not just a half-elf, but a changeling.
Whoa!
Okay.
That's a lot.
And we'll see you next week.
No, holy cow!
I knew that was coming.
And now it's time for a new episode of the Dice of Thunder podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the Dice of Thunder podcast, where life is too short to pretend like you don't like Taylor Swift.
Ooh.
Whatever.
No, it's not.
Thank you, NFD. We love you.
Why are we still on Taylor, man?
Are you checking these off when you use them? Because I feel like we did that one.
No, we just talk about Taylor Swift a lot.
It's true. She's
and
a
I think
topic
I said that.
You did say it.
But it's also
it's
a cold open.
Quote.
Yeah, it's a direct quote from our friend, Natalie.
I think you're right. I think that is a cold open we've already used.
It's definitely not a cold open. It was a topic of discussion.
I think you're right.
I'll take it.
Oh, man. Life is too short to listen to Taylor Swift, right? That's what you said?
No. Definitely not what I said.
I haven't actually given her music a chance.
This is a Swifty podcast.
Yeah. I've got bad blood.
Well, that's one of her songs.
Wow.
There it is.
That's the only one I know.
A reference.
It is a reference.
Good reference.
Very good.
It's the only one I know.
I can do another cold open if you want.
Do it. Go.
Definitely funnier than any episode of The Big Bang Theory.
Oh.
Facts.
Which sounds like one I've already done.
That does sound like one.
But it is different.
Oh.
I know.
The other one was, I hate Big Bang Theory.
It was something like that.
I can't watch it. It's melatonin.
It puts you to sleep?
Oh, yeah. What are we laughing at? Why is there a laugh track in the show?
Yeah. Isn't there supposed to be something funny said when there's a laugh track? I'm sorry, Thunder Buddies, if that triggered you. And you're like a total Big Bang Theory person, and you're out there saying Bazinga and all this other crap.
Can we talk about laugh tracks, though, for a second?
Yeah, we can definitely talk about laugh tracks.
It weirds me out that I'm being told when I should be laughing.
I don't like them at all.
Either. I don't like them at
they
all.
They used to be so commonplace back
so
in the day.
Back in the day.
Yeah. Jordan, you like laugh tracks, don't you?
No,
because there's got to be one contrarian in this.
Stop.
It's like the
World War Z. Do we finally agree on something? All five of us?
I like live studio audiences.
Yeah, when real
that's
people are laughing.
Yeah, that's not a laugh
track. Have you ever been to a live studio?
But no one they laughs. Are still told when to laugh.
They tell you when to laugh.
Applause. Applause. They hold the sign
and,
up.
And people are like, is it now? Is it now? Is it now?
And they're like,
ha! It's funny.
It's not. I'm being paid to be here, right? No, they're not. You don't even get a sandwich.
You don't even get a sandwich.
Don't even get a sandwich.
If I'm going to come here, at least I should get a sandwich, right? Come on.
What accent is that?
It's like German, Greek, Italian.
Who moved into New York
come
and
on,
sells
I want
sandwiches.
A sandwich. Huh? Put some prosciutto and some mozzarella on it.
Mozzarella.
Wow.
Hold on, let me look at our heat map and make sure we don't have any listeners in that area
that's
of the country.
That's the cheese I like.
Just look at Bulgaria.
Oh, no one in Montana still. We're good. Oh. Ooh,
because there's no one in Montana. Oh. Hey. Bazinga.
There, laugh track.
Wait, does the Big Bang Theory actually use a laugh track?
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. No way. But they're like the only show now that does that.
But no. Young Sheldon doesn't.
Really? Wait, there's lots of other shows that use it?
Young Sheldon's more of that like Wonder Years vibe,
which is weird.
Narrative storytelling and doesn't do a laugh track.
Except not good.
And there's no Winnie in it.
Exactly.
You got no Winnie.
No Savages. You got no show. No Winnie. Let's get out of here.
She does a lot of Hallmark movies now.
I talked to a coworker of mine a few months ago about TV watching habits and just kind of like, what do you do when you get home? Uh-huh. And I was like, well, I have a podcast that I make. And I don't work in a nerdy field. I work in construction, right?
So, okay.
You have no idea what I do.
I don't have any.
Well, he's like, you make potions and stuff, right?
You're a necromancer, aren't you?
Are you writing quest scrolls?
aren't you
the scroll writer?
Yeah.
That's me. The scroll writer of Seattle.
In CAD.
No. I work construction. So I work with a lot of like tradesmen who are very, some of them have criminal records. They're pretty rough guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were socializing on break and... What do you do after? And I do a podcast with my friends and my wife, and who's not my friend. No. Wow. Side note, always weird when someone says, my friends and my wife.
There's no to way me, to say that doesn't seem weird.
In my mind, I'm like, not your friend. She's just your wife, huh? Oh, sorry. Sorry, guy.
Yeah.
I do a podcast with my friends, and we play Pathfinder, and I've usually already lost them at podcasts.
Yeah.
But then you start going in, and they're like, what's Pathfinder? And I'm like, well, it's kind of like Dungeons & Dragons, only better.
Yeah.
Is that the new Dio album?
Yeah. And then they're like, why haven't I heard of it then? And I'm like, well, you know, Paizo doesn't advertise properly. Anyway, but this guy said, oh, I like that stuff too. I watched The Big Bang Theory.
Whoa.
And I had to like...
Whoa! To like,
you bit the tip of your tongue off.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa!
Yeah. Literally was like...
Like, you want something better than The Big Bang Theory? Listen to this. Listen to
that's
us.
That's like saying, I lost it.
was your response? Did you point at him and go, bazinga?
Yeah, no. I was like, oh, that's right. They play that on that show, don't they? And he was like, oh, yeah. Those are always the funniest episodes when Sheldon's being the game master, and I'm like, oh my!
He just wants to be your friend. He just wants to be your friend.
So we had a moment there where I was like, okay, whatever you do, don't crap on Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
Don't crap on Big Bang Theory. Don't crap. No. And I had to like tell myself that like 16 times while he's explaining how much he loves all the nerdy stuff that they talk about, and I'm like, okay. No, anyway,
keep it real.
If you're out there and you like nerdy stuff. Go on Amazon and watch The Legend of Vox Machina.
Ooh, that's good.
Ooh, yeah.
That's nerdy stuff. That's Critical Role. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Don't watch Big Bang.
Unless you want to sponsor the show, then everyone can watch Big Bang Theory.
I suppose if Big Bang Theory wants to sponsor this show, I will have a complete change of heart.
Yeah.
I will sell out entirely.
I'm just saying, what if they're playing Bazinga Pathfinder
and
they're playing Dice of Thunder and the Shumfall 5 on the show?
I would rather them just like someone's listening to this actual play podcast on that
on
show.
The show.
I don't even care about the copyright violation.
Well, you can get Denzel Washington to play me. If y'all end up on that show, you can get Denzel to play me.
Denzel. Who would play me? Aim high. Be nice.
Mark Wahlberg.
No, who was the guy from Lord of the Rings?
All right.
Amy Schumer.
That's the guy.
Yeah!
You mean the guy who played Gimli?
No.
John Rhys Davies?
No, the guy who played Faramir. Gregomir.
Oh, you know what's funny? Dude, do you know what's funny? Every time I take a Lord of the Rings test, I always get Faramir.
You just look in a mirror.
It's crazy, but I'm like, how? They don't look at my face when I'm taking these quizzes.
Is this a meta thing?
Or not even a quiz. It's just like randomly picking. It's always Faramir.
Is this on Meta? Is this on Facebook?
I don't think so.
Oh.
I don't know what it's on.
How do you take where are you going to take this quiz?
Usually people send me, going to college? They usually text me. They're like, here, take this Lord of the Rings quiz. You like Lord of the Rings?
And people
like,
text you that?
Yeah, dude.
That is totally you!
Duval, that is totally you!
It is.
What's his name?
He was in 300.
Yeah, he's a 300 guy. Oh, yeah, he's the one I
tell you the story of.
What's his name?
He's the great narrator.
I honestly can't remember. David Wenham.
Thank you.
David Wenham. My name is David Wenham.
Yep.
I was in 300.
Little do you know, that's my cousin.
Your doppelganger. Yeah.
I'll take that. Yeah. He can play me.
Who's your doppelganger?
Time to show you a quality.
Yeah.
I get Matt Damon sometimes.
Shut the heck up.
What?
By who?
Yeah, I say I'm Brad Pitt for me all the time.
Yeah. You guys know Matt Damon's not handsome, right?
What?
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
Yo.
You're not allowed to tell.
You have to have someone grislier, I think, because your sweet beard you're rocking.
You're not
right
allowed
now.
To tell people who you look like. Oh, I think I look like Moolah.
No, right. No.
We right. all have been told.
Yeah.
Who, so people tell you you look like Matt Damon.
I have been
Damon.
Told Matt Damon,
is this
but
the school
now
of the blind?
I feel like this is Love is Blind, and I'm I'm lying in the pod about yes. what I look like.
I'm Megan Fox.
Yeah, I'm Megan Fox.
Yes.
I'm Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah. You meet the person and they're Helen Hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, no. No one.
Who do I look like?
Helen Hunt.
Oh right. My gosh.
Yes.
I don't know.
No.
Who's got a sweet beard?
Chris
Not like
Hemsworth.
Santa.
He does.
If I had long hair.
Honestly, your beard does look like Chris Hemsworth
there
a little bit.
It is.
Yeah.
We're building
the eyes
it. We're
too.
Building it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep talking, wife.
Yeah.
I like it.
You know how you I got like Lego when you got Duplo? You're the Duplo of Chris Hemsworth.
I'll take that. Duplo's awesome.
We call those Schmegos.
I'm the Chris Hemsworth Dollar General
Maybe the
version.
Maybe the older Hemsworth brother.
Yeah.
Carl.
Carl Hemsworth?
I don't know.
Chris.
He played Thor in the play.
What's his name?
It's a wooden.
I can't remember.
Luke Hemsworth.
Yeah,
that's
who
you're talking about.
Wait, there really is a third brother?
Yeah, he was in what was the HBO show with the robots and the theme park?
Westworld.
Yeah, Westworld.
You could totally be the fourth brother of that family.
Oh, I'm the missing Hemsworth.
Yeah,
we found him.
We found him,
Chris.
Call
we found
him.
Okay, right now, without.
That's why your Gattleby voice is so spot on.
I want because it's in my DNA.
Yeah.
Jordan.
Yeah.
Immediate reaction.
Yeah.
I'm just going to throw this a sentence at you, and I want you to answer immediately.
I'm so excited for this.
Who would make a better Witcher, me or Liam?
100% you.
Yeah, that's right, baby.
That Liam Witcher?
Liam Hemsworth.
Liam Hemsworth yeah. is recast.
Oh, Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson's?
Or I should say Geralt
Liam
was recast.
Neeson's.
More than one Neeson.
I have a particular set of skills.
What's your Witcher voice, though? What is Geralt? What's your Geralt voice?
You gotta be always bothered. Your whole life is just bothered.
You sound like this all the time when you're...
Leave me alone.
I'm tired of hunting for river hags. They smell so bad.
The fates are annoying.
I never show any emotion.
Is that Batman?
This is Geralt
No,
of
it's Geralt of Rivia. It's got some Batman vibes.
I'm not wearing hockey pads.
That's Batman. Geralt has the same like gravel, but not as much bass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a little too bassy.
Also, just through a microphone. Like, if you were in the microphone, it would be spot
I mean, I have my low end turned all the way down, so I sound dope.
Yes.
But I'm just saying, like, you could pull off the Geralt voice, mm-hmm. for
yeah.
sure.
Are you talking to Jordan?
I'm talking to you.
No.
Scott. Yes.
What do you think, Brittany?
She's like, who's Geralt?
No, she's seen The Witcher like 16 times.
All I can say is anyone would be better than
Liam Hemsworth.
He's actually the worst.
Here, I'm going to say something.
I won't be watching
I'm going to say something, then we're going to move on.
Okay.
I'm going to say this.
Okay.
When they were doing the screen tests for Henry Cavill,
mm-hmm.
those pictures all got leaked.
Right.
And everybody was like, ugh. Remember? Right. Back in the day, before...
And they said the same thing about Robert Pattinson.
I was a big fan of that
Pattinson
idea.
Was an awesome yes. Batman.
Incredible.
Loved that role for him.
Yep.
Loved him in that movie. Was
yep.
great.
Yep.
Wait, we have two more people to roast here. Who's going to play
Oh,
Jordan?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No one can play me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I just want to say, Liam, let's give Liam a chance. I'm just there. That's it.
I'm there.
That's the end.
I'm there to give him a chance.
I'll check it out for sure.
Anything is going to be better in season 3.
Oof. Who plays Jordan?
Yeah.
How do you cast that?
How do you cast Jordan?
Got to roll
exactly.
High.
Brian Shaw?
Who's that?
World's Strongest Man winner. 6'9".
Wait, who's that wrestler?
Kane?
No.
The Undertaker?
The Undertaker.
Oh, Braun Strowman. Yeah. That's exactly who she's talking about. Google him right now. Yeah, Braun Strowman.
Braun Strowman.
Pull over. That's Jordan. Pull over in your car. Yeah,
Google.
Mark, take a break. Get on your phone.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Right? That is totally Jordan.
Called it.
Braun, oh, my gosh.
Strowman. Braun Strowman is taller than you, too.
This guy got hair on his shoulders.
He's a monstrosity.
My lord.
They call him the monster.
He's only
among
one
men.
Inch taller than me.
Here's what's great. Oh, wow. We got a lot of wrestling fans who listen to this show.
Really?
Oh, good. Yep. Good people.
Shout
this
out, Alex.
Super cool.
Dude, that is you.
Right? Yeah. Jordan looks like Braun Strowman.
I'm so glad your personality is not like this. We would not have
that guy up. Is actually hilarious.
He can make that
face,
yeah, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a funny guy. He's a great guy.
Look at this smile right here. Look at this.
And now Scott
Jordan
has to tell his wife.
Yeah.
Okay.
Somebody's sleeping on the couch tonight. Sleeping on the couch tonight.
He's like, oh, I think Brittany should play Brittany.
There was someone that she looked like, and I've heard this before. But now it's a bad callback because that person has since made bad decisions with
their
life.
And now you have to say it.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm going to say it.
Okay.
Hope Solo.
Oh, yeah. I've gotten that actually before.
I don't know who Hope Solo is, so I have to Google.
She was the goaltender for the U.S. women's team. Did
she make bad decisions? Isn't she from Seattle?
There's been some bad decisions.
I can see Hope.
I don't know who this person is.
She's
I could kind of see.
Soccer goalie.
Yeah.
That's the only person I've ever gotten someone say, you look like that.
Last name being Solo, though. I was definitely thinking a little more Star Wars than this.
Yeah. He passed.
There was something with her and her husband beating the crap out of each other a few years ago.
Domestic violence. Yeah.
That's right. So everyone agreed about
Denzel
me.
Denzel Washington?
Denzel Washington, right?
100%.
Let's go.
Like, if Denzel Washington and Wesley Snipes had a baby.
Oh.
No, what I've really gotten in before I grew a beard and my hair was Don Cheadle.
Hmm. When you were a clean shaven,
you're way more handsome than Don
Thank
Cheadle.
Thank you. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Thank you. I don't. Yeah, right.
Cheadle's got a weird face.
Yeah. He's got a weird face.
Man. No offense, Cheadle. No offense. You're a great actor.
Yeah,
you're a great actor.
Don Cheadle's a Thunder Buddy, bro. You can't say that.
He listens.
He's
to the show.
He'll cancel us.
He's a great poker player as well.
He is a great poker player.
Mm-hmm. He does some great
good clips.
Some great acting.
I can see it, but nah.
I don't agree with the Cheadle.
Don Cheadle would be your stunt double. That's how I feel about that.
Thank you. Come on.
He's not tall enough for that.
Up top.
He's not tall like that.
Like Don if Cheadle? Denzel Washington was funnier.
No, I don't look anything like Denzel
Washington. Hilarious. I could see some like Chadwick Boseman.
No.
Yeah. No, I get it in there.
No.
Come on, flex those arms.
Chadwick Boseman doesn't have arms.
You do. I mean,
just wants to see your arms.
You do.
Show us your arms.
Can we see them Lululemon pants again?
Yeah.
I'm so aerodynamic right now. The Lulu.
Oh.
That's great.
Like the young Wesley Snipes from White Man Can't Jump.
No. Yeah, can't pull that off.
I got that.
That's a fun dude, though. I would hang out with him.
Yeah.
Wesley Snipes?
That
Wesley Snipes. Young Wesley Snipes.
And the Wesley Snipes that was in...
Pre-tax evasion.
Pre-tax evasion, pre-prison.
And Expendables Wesley Snipes. He's having a good time.
Ooh.
No. I'll take a Blade.
First Blade.
Let's hang out.
They have horror stories from Blade 3 about Wesley Snipes. Like method acting as Blade the whole time.
Oh, that would be painful.
Put me on. I love those stories. Let's go. Wesley, I bet you won't do it. I bet you won't do it in the Kroger, Wesley. I bet you won't.
There's a cup of blood right here. You won't drink it.
I bet you won't. We will have a great time.
There's vampires here. Pulls out a glaive.
Yeah.
Wait. Just do an express checkout, my man. Like it's fine. It's put the glaive away.
Yeah. Oh man.
Oh. Day method Walker. Acting the whole time.
Yeah, it was bad.
Sign me up.
That is so. That's ridiculous.
It was bad because everybody was a vampire that wasn't him in that movie.
Yeah.
Except for like Ryan Reynolds and Jessica Biel.
Oh, I forgot Beale was in that.
Yeah, and so is Triple H.
You imagine
what?
You
imagine Ryan Reynolds just like looking at him side eyeing, like what the hell is going on? Yeah.
I've heard like there's clips of Ryan Reynolds like horror stories from that movie, and they're hilarious because that guy can tell a story.
I gotta
like
find those.
Nobody else, but yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway,
so good.
Wow.
We're gonna roll die today.
Yeah, I think we should do it right now.
Let's do it.
Because you know what? We're not a We Hate Big Bang Theory podcast.
No.
I mean.
We are a Greg Looks Like Faramir podcast.
For sure. 100%. For sure.
I busted out an older picture of Greg and put it side by side with Faramir. Remember that?
I remember that.
For Dude Mutant?
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Andy Mineo.
I did get that one a lot before when I was wearing my hat glasses.
Yeah,
Andy
Mineo. Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah, I wasn't mad about that. Dude, someone was trying to play a joke on their sister and said, can I take a picture with you and send it and say, I met Andy Mineo. And I was like, sure.
Absolutely.
And so he did it. I don't know the end of that story. Oh. I don't know. We should check in with that guy.
Yeah.
This is years
ago. Let me call him. Hey, Andy. Yeah. Oh, that's Jordan's bit. Sorry. I didn't mean to steal your first name basis with celebrities bit.
Been a long time since you used it, so I say it's free game. It's open license.
So I ended the last episode on a little weird knowledge cliffy.
Yeah, what'd you do?
Yeah.
Where Darnayru found out that Angelique Lovelace was the offspring of a hag and a paladin, but there's more to the story. And I wanted to start this episode and dig a little further.
Good, because that left
into beloved deputy Angelique Lovelace.
It felt like you just shoved the shovel into the ground and walked away.
Yeah.
And you were about to dig a hole.
We were about to dig a hole. And the Thunder Buddies have had to wait an entire week for this. So the designation that she is the offspring of a paladin and a water hag, it turns out, as you find out more information, is not entirely true. She was raised by an Osirian paladin, a man by the name of Antarish.
Antarish.
That's Antarish, Osirian paladin guy, right? Entarish. Antarish. He's a nice fellow. Adopted like a stepdad to Angelique Lovelace.
Perfect.
Oh, and that, yeah. Anyway, bye.
Thanks, Go Mac.
Go Mac out. This paladin had a mortal enemy, the river hag named Gris Nightspittle.
Whoa. I don't want anybody nightspittling on me.
Nightspittle spelled exactly how it sound. And her first name, Gris, is G-R-I-S.
Thanks,
Gomez. G-R-I-S.
Nightspittle, wow.
Gomez, season 3 out. The two of them had a, battle to the death in some forgotten pharaoh's tomb. Darnayru, you're reading this, where would you discover something like this? Some sort of lost, it's almost like the National Enquirer of Alkenstar. Some kind of gossip rag that tried to do a fluff piece on Angelique Lovelace one time.
Mm.
And turns out that it's all true, but nobody believed it. It's that kind of, that's the kind of the feeling that you get while you're reading this, right?
Yeah.
The two fought and fought and fought and escaped gravely injured, but went their separate ways, but became mortal enemies. And after years of conflict, Antarish trying to hunt Gris, maybe Gris, G-R-I-S, I don't know. Alex.
I like Gris.
Write in. Alex is our Canadian superfan.
Yeah. Pronunciator.
He can help us.
Yes. He's our friend. He's also our French interpreter. Thank you, Alex, for everything that you do.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. After years of conflict, Gris eventually concocted a devious plan to bring Antarish to his knees. In the ruins of a flooded temple beneath a hunter's moon, Gris gave birth to a changeling infant and then left that child on Antarish's doorstep. Now, something about...
That'll teach him.
Well...
Take care of my kid.
The thing about the offspring of hags, always female, and one day their mother comes calling with a command that they are compelled to answer.
Mm.
Antarish, weakened from the battles and the years of conflict, sees this baby and sees it as some kind of a sign, raises it to be his own child, like a father. Okay, hence the rumor of her being the offspring of a paladin and a hag.
Mm-hmm.
He named the infant Angelique, serving as her father and mentor, and raising her to follow a virtuous path in spite of her wretched heritage. This is some juicy coal.
Juicy coal.
Juicy coal Kronwitter. Loving it. Yet for all of Antarish's noble efforts, Angelique possessed a cruel disposition and wicked temper. When she came of age, Gris approached the young woman in the dead of night and revealed the truth of her birth, and then commanded Angelique to kill her adopted father and join her mother's side. Angelique refused her mother's grim commandment.
Whoa.
How?
Paladin's powers, baby.
Wow.
That's guessing.
And in a rage, the hag gathered her most powerful minions and killed the paladin Antarish.
Dang.
When she discovered her father had been slain, Angelique recovered his holy sword and set out to find her water hag mother. The cunning hag thought Angelique had finally given in to her evil birthright, but instead, Angelique avenged her fallen father by soaking his sword in Gris's blood and claiming the hag's Blackwood staff, which is the source of their power. When that happens, a hag basically ceases to exist.
Yeah.
It's kind of intense, right? Anyway, from there, the story ends. And so you just get this wild fairy tale. But after doing your investigation, putting together everything you get about Alkenstar, you come to the conclusion that this must be true.
Dang.
As wild as it is. Give you some fun background on Angelique Lovelace.
That's awesome.
It is
awesome.
And
not at all what I expected.
Right?
Because we just, I mean, changelings are sneaky, little tricksters. But the fact that we were just full on thinking half-elf. That's it. That's wild.
Gotta watch out for the multicolored eyes.
Yeah.
Kate Bosworth, also a very famous changeling. Her mother was a water hag, too.
Kate Bosworth?
Is that the girl from the movie?
Yeah, from the surfer movie.
I don't know.
Kate Bosworth.
No.
She has heterochromia. It's not. Anyway, that's what you learn.
So do I learn anything about... We know that she's over a department of the Shield Marshals.
Yep.
And she basically runs Alkenstar because her boss is in Cloud Reaver Keep.
Yep.
The Marshal of Marshals. Why the heck is the Duchess okay with her running things? Because everybody knows she's corrupt.
Good question. Write it down.
Okay, it's written. I'm writing it.
You guys spend a couple more days doing downtime activities. How much money did you make selling all that swag?
Oh, we made, just selling all the stuff that we gathered, like the guns and the silencers and the holsters and stuff, we made 466 gold.
Amazing.
Yeah.
There is one gun
we didn't sell.
That you didn't sell. Is Varg keeping that firearm?
Yes, Varg is keeping
it. He's armed. Varg is armed.
Yes. Varg is armed. Does Varg know how to shoot a gun?
Of course.
I think barbarians are trained in firearms.
Really? Like fighters?
Yes. Yeah, like fighters.
Score.
Because they have martial weapon training.
They're trained at throwing
them. And a dueling pistol is a martial weapon.
That is correct.
Don't forget those knuckle dusters.
Are those equipped?
They are equipped.
Holy smokes.
Yep.
Which is kind of fun because Hero Lab will allow him to use his two-handed weapon, and if he needs to, he can switch out and
hold it one-handed.
Put Kinflancer on his back.
Right.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's fun.
Go to Punch Town.
Go to Punchy Shoot Town.
Yeah.
That's cool.
You just have to refer to him as Sarbora when he does it. You know, he's not Varg anymore.
He's Vargbora.
Saborog?
Saborog.
No.
Ooh, I like that.
Sharkbiter?
Yes.
Kinbiter? Yeah. Sharkbiter would be a really cool name for like a druid.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That would be cool. So we didn't find any, we didn't get any information about where to maybe find her or, okay.
Just that she's, you know.
Her history. I like it. That was really good, though.
I mean, you may even see her at some point, like, just traveling. What are you going to do? Go up to her and be like, hey.
Stab her.
Give her a sneaky stab?
Yeah, just walk up and stab her.
Because enemies don't have hit points in this game.
No.
More than you. No, not at all. After a few days go by, did anybody take the time to retrain anything that you want to highlight and talk about?
I retrained a feat.
Yeah?
And that feat inured to the heat.
Inured?
Inured. I think that's how you say it.
Inured.
You treat environmental heat effects as if they were one step less extreme.
Are you reading the adventure path?
What?
How do you know about that?
Because I trained for it.
It's a Shisk thing.
Inured.
Inured. To the heat.
N-I-I-N. I'm dyslexic.
You gain resistance 4 to fire.
Wow.
Whoa.
Half your level or something?
Huh? No, it just says you get 4.
You just get 4. Why not 5?
That's a level 5 feat,
baby.
Oh, exciting.
Very.
You arrive back at the Bullet and Barrel Saloon at the time that Phoebe arranged with you previously. She sees you, waves, and motions you over to that all too familiar back room now, but doesn't say anything to you. It's kind of odd.
It's very odd.
She escorts you to that back room, and there is a woman seated at the round table that you're all used to hanging out at. You guys ready for your first taste of Cole Kronwitter?
Flavor!
Make it spicy.
A black 10-gallon hat rests on a table near the back of the room. Behind the hat sits a woman wearing unassuming yet fine clothes embroidered with the crest of Alkenstar. With a deferential bow and a murmur of, "My lady," Phoebe Dunsmith closes the door, ensuring that this meeting is private.
Mm.
Rising from her seat, Grand Duchess Triaterisia dons her hat and leans over the table. She arches an eyebrow before speaking. "Agent Dunsmith has kept me appraised of your efforts regarding the Pyronite situation. I'd hoped the trail might end with Mugland, but it seems Deputy Lovelace still at large with the Pyronite formula, along with two new faces, a wizard from Nex and some necromancer from Geb."
That's correct.
"I know their names." "The wizard from Geb is Parsis."
"Parsis."
"Oh, that's
necromancer from Geb?
The necromancer from Geb, also a wizard. You gotta know spell in order to raise the dead."
"All right."
"And his name is Parsis, P-A-R-S-U-S. How did that goblin get in here?"
He's just always with us.
"Supposed to be a private. I'll have to talk to my security."
"It's best not to ask questions."
"The Nexian wizard is named Ibrium." That's I-B-R-I-U-M. "That's a weird one. Ibrium. Ibrium? Ibrium? Ibrium. What do you say?
Ibrium.
Ibrium.
The opposite of whatever you say.
Ibrium.
Obviously, the implications of this discovery are dire. Pyronite, as I understand, is too powerful a weapon for one nation to wield alone. If the formula can't be kept secret here in Alkenstar, I fear it must be spread to the world equally. The political situation between Nex and Geb is tenuous, to say nothing of nations more distant from Alkenstar. If any single power were to gain access to Pyronite, they would gain a devastating advantage in matters of war. The holds of Belkson overrun with orcs wielding this weapon, or slavers from Cheliax? To prevent this, I've begun preparations to distribute the Pyronite formula to as many foreign powers as necessary, including the hands of unscrupulous nations close to home, such as Nex and Geb. So take a moment to let that set in."
"So she's selling it too?"
"She wants to give it away to everybody.
To even the playing field?"
"Yeah, so give everybody WMDs."
"This is a terrible idea."
"It's a horrible idea."
"This does not seem like a wise idea."
Rhysia paces the room slowly and speaks methodically. "Think of it this way. With all nations ensured equal access to this new weapon, the current balance of power will be preserved. At the moment, my hands are tied, and the world will be forever changed because of Gattleby's devastating invention." She stops pacing and looks up from the floor. "However, there is still a small chance to avoid this. If you can find Lovelace, Parsis, and Ibrium, you could prevent the formula from spreading any further. This is my preferred solution, by far. Obviously, Alkenstar would be in a far safer position if no one, or at least only our own nation, had access to this powerful new weapon." And then she does her best syndrome from The Incredibles.
Yes.
"Syndrome!" says,
"If everyone is super, then no one will be." This is what she looks like.
She's a redhead.
Yeah, she's very, like, she doesn't dress like some pomp and circumstance or
she doesn't stand out.
Something
she
that her station
about.
She's would, wearing a top hat, right?
She's wearing like a 10-gallon Abe Lincoln hat, though. Which fits the clockwork.
I mean, in this town, yeah. It makes sense.
Just go to any convention and you can see that, like, everywhere. Throw a rock and it'll bounce off three top hats.
Top hat with goggles on it.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. So, you can now ask questions. You see her weighing your reactions. All of you had an initial gut reaction of like, well, this is insane. I'm assuming that's what your characters would feel too.
Yes. Yeah. Horrified.
Yes, I think we are on a quite agreement on the preferred method to move forward is not to give the Pyronite formula to everyone.
Do you have any questions?
I have questions, but I want to let other people jump in first.
I think you should tell Jordan what to say.
I don't have
as is per the methods of the Dice of Thunder podcast. Varg, ask this.
Jordan, smooch her on the face. Give her a smooch.
"Are there other options you've considered? Giving all those countries this dangerous formula could ruin the world. There must be other options."
"Ruin the world, but preserve the balance of power. No one nation would be able to use this formula to rise up against another. Imagine if the Molthuni had it. Nirmathos would fall overnight. You may not know about that, but I'm traveled. And the GM has read all kinds of stupid lore."
"That is why I think we would prefer to catch Lovelace and these two from Nex and Geb and to stop the Pyronite formula from getting out. And but we should also see if there's a way to neutralize this creation.
Yeah.
To put Gattleby and Kosuana in charge of finding a way to neutralize it worldwide. So even if it did perhaps get out, because Gattleby keeps saying that he is somebody else will figure this out. He is very, very confident of that. So
he may be right. If that day comes, let's pray it's far away from here.
Consider that placing the Pyronite all over the world allows gangs and thieves to steal the formula. And not only do nations have it, but each block and borough have it too.
You need only look around the city to know that firearms, which are manufactured one at a time and sold only to the most responsible people, eventually find their way down into the lower dregs of society. You make a good point, but eventually, like your friend Gattleby said, it may end up in everyone's hands.
So you're saying we need a background check for the Pyronite?
No Second Amendment talk.
All right, fine. I mean, Cody, whatever his name, took us there, so...
Cole. So it seems like we all are in agreement we need to stop Loveless. I do have a serious question. If this is your city, why do you let her wander free and lead? Why does she have control over corrupt shield marshals?
That's a great question. I now have evidence to move against her after this troubling development with that banker man.
Mug.
You speak of the felonious knave.
Is that what he is?
And a scamp, too.
Complete scamp.
Total scamp.
Someone like that, I would have been able to sick my guards on, and they surely would have captured him immediately.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Not let him
my
go.
Wow. Gosh.
But I digress.
So now you are able to make a move against Loveless. Where is she?
The problem is, this shield marshal appoints his deputies, and he is an elected official, as am I. If I swing my power around and try to take away officers without any proof, well, that's tantamount to war on a political scale.
If you have the proof now, what is to stop you?
Just the legal process of gathering. My hands are tied by my position, which is why I've chosen you. Loveless has many allies, both high and low, who've already stymied my official efforts. Even aside from the risk of alerting Loveless to our plans, Alkenstar's bureaucracy is formidable. Our city is like a lumbering engine set on a track. It's difficult to slow down and even more difficult to change direction. For nimble adjustments, I've found unorthodox solutions such as agents like you and Phoebe far more effective. So far, your efforts have been outstanding, which is why I've selected you for this mission. Shumfala.
Shumfala
to you.
Does this mean we are officially secret agents?
So you're saying that the attempt to get rid of Loveless the official way has failed, so you need outlaws to take care of it.
Any chance he gets.
The
duh.
Outlaws of Alkenstar. Love it.
He said it.
He said it.
But is that what you're saying? The unofficial way?
Let me put this simply. If you're successful, I will personally ensure you're amply rewarded. Moreover, my political powers are significant, even wrapped up in this bureaucracy. For complying with my requests, I can absolve you of the laws you have thus far broken, including any damage to your status Mugland or Loveless may have inflicted. I can also help you out of binds in the future, within reason, of course. That is, if you'd like. It seems like notoriety is its own currency around here.
This is very true.
I personally don't mind the rap sheet.
Of course, Varg doesn't.
Well, then we can maintain it in reputation only, so that there is no legal difficulty that comes your way. Surely that will cement you as the most notorious people all of Alkenstar, as you would seem to be above the law.
Yes.
Is there anything else that you can tell us that will point us in the right direction of where to go? Where can we find this Parsis and Ibrium?
Well, at present, we know very little about Parsis or Ibrium, so the trail ends with Loveless, who's also nowhere to be found. My guess is she's lying low with this deal looming on the horizon, or whatever it was that Mugland had set up. While we don't know their plans, in order to use the Pyronite formula, the trio will need large quantities of the necessary reagents to craft the explosives. This means they need funding, material, transportation. All of these things can be tracked. As a first step, I need you to infiltrate the Iron Master's Vault of Secrets, where Loveless and her cronies have their offices. Hopefully, you can find some clues there. Now, Phoebe can provide you with more information about the Vault of Secrets. Do you have any other questions? I must bid you farewell soon.
This may be a question for Phoebe. Were you able to track down Muglin's whereabouts?
I have not, nor have I tried. The man is powerless as far as I'm concerned.
A powerless little weasel who needs to answer for his crimes.
Well, perhaps you should put an arrow in his face like you did that poor Shoma Lazarius fellow.
Yeah, where were we on that one, Kairos?
Dial M for murder.
I don't have any other questions for her.
Nope.
You guys got any other things?
We've managed to make some allies along the way. Is there anyone that you know would be on our side in this that we could use?
Me? I'm on your side.
Can I roll for perception?
Sure. Is that not the answer you wanted? She shook her head.
I want somebody else.
I don't want you, Mr. President.
Somebody I'm talking about, we want our own cronies.
You have your own cronies.
Yeah. Okay. 29 total.
29 total.
Nice.
Just Kairos?
Yeah.
I'm okay. Rolling it. 27.
Okay, that's pretty good. You get the feeling that everything she's saying is honest and intentional. She's,
I don't
she's not
why
pulling
she
the wool over your eyes. She's not leaving out any details.
Cool.
Okay.
Then we need to go to the Iron Master's Vault of Secrets, which Phoebes has the location.
I love that place.
I take my leave then. And she leaves. Like, stuff to do. She's very busy.
Yeah.
And as she exits, Phoebe comes back in the room and well, you finally got to talk to her. She told me about this Iron Master's Vault of Secrets bit. And what I can tell you is it's an old bank vault underground. And it's exactly what it sounds like. A vault where secrets are kept. I do know how to get in, though. And it involves a stagecoach. And she Ooh. Says that. She gets a big grin on her face.
I'm here for this.
Six shooters. Grab them.
Once a week on Fire Day, a stagecoach travels from Martell to the east into Alkenstar with all of the salary and information for the shield marshals collected from that town. Its first stop and its only stop is the Vault of Secrets. Get your way onto that coach in whatever way you choose. Don't get caught, and it should take you down into exactly where you need to go.
Sweet.
Don't get caught.
But once you're down there, I've got new information. Find Lovelace's office, search for information about materials, transportation, and money. Remember, follow the money. It's always good advice when you're planning a heist. Oh, I didn't mean for that to rhyme. But it did.
When does your new album come out?
Yes. The vault you're looking for is Vault 14. That's the last bit of information I have. The most important thing, do not stick around any longer than you have to. Get the information and get out. Once you're caught, that's it. Lovelace will assume she's been compromised and the trail will run cold. Perhaps those hats of disguise will come in handy. I don't know, maybe. But you'd need to be sneaky.
What can you tell us about the stagecoach? Is it guarded? Is it pulled by horses or clockwork machines?
Yes to both. Clockwork horses.
Ah. Cool.
Two shield marshals, likely under Lovelace's command, and probably two accountants or bookkeepers. Okay. You know about the broken heart symbol, because you told me.
We do.
Look yes, for that. Do. Anyone wearing a shield marshal uniform who's also brandishing a broken heart of some kind is on the take.
Kill on sight.
Maybe not. I mean, I like your passion, Mr. Varg. I've always, always have, but I feel like murder in the streets is a little bit far until we can get a little more information.
Okay, fine. I don't know. Hold off.
I know Alcazar is a rough place and all, but
okay. Perfect. I think we should use hats of disguise to disguise ourselves as shield marshals with broken hearts on them.
Ooh.
I don't know how we're gonna get on that stagecoach though, because they're gonna.
That's genius.
Yeah. I know I'm getting on there. I don't know what you guys are doing.
We're going to...
You guys listen to this show, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure.
We've got to roll dice to make all this happen.
Right.
Yeah, we do.
Well, we'll just roll high. It's easy.
So we're, I missed the first part. I know we're infiltrating
back.
Vault 14. We need info for money, transportation, and secrets.
Yep.
We're getting on the stagecoach and then going to the vault?
Yeah, the stagecoach is dropping off salaries to the vault.
Right.
That's its first and only stop.
Right.
And so we need to be on that stagecoach, and it will take us right into the vault, and then we get off and go into Lovelace's office, which is where we search for all that stuff.
Yeah, and you know you have a couple of days, and the stagecoach will come through the east side of town from on the road from Martell.
Okay.
On Fire Day.
Okay.
And then it will take a direct path into the city and go to the Vault of Secrets.
Okay. That was the piece I missed. So, I mean, I would think then we should try to acquire some Shield Marshal uniforms while we got some time to prep. And we can, like, crayon some broken hearts on them or something.
Try to help yourselves craft a disguise.
Yeah.
I like the crafting better than using the hats. Because the hats, if anybody, like...
Right.
Those are, I think, easier to be discovered.
How are you going to take the stagecoach?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Are we taking over the stagecoach? Is that what you guys want to do? Or are we trying to, like, sneak our way onto it and hide? Because I almost feel like we should just do a heist style.
I say we scout out the route.
Yep.
Look for a place that we can hold it up in, like, a secluded area.
Before it gets into the city, because it comes from the east.
Deal with the... At the very least, deal with the Shield Marshals. We might want to keep the accountants to, like, get past any security or something.
Nah, let's get rid of
assuming them. They will cooperate.
Exactly. But we get rid of those, deal with them how we want to, and then we take the stagecoach through then, the roll-up doors. I assume there's some roll-up doors or something.
No sneaking. We'll murder the Shield Marshals out in public somewhere.
Secluded public area.
Find a secret cave that they might roll by randomly and be like, murder!
No, like an alley.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying, like, the sneaking.
You're
going
to wait for
piece.
Them to get into the city and do this.
I don't want to do. This is what I want to do. Scout the route, including outside the city.
Okay.
That's what I would like to do first, because if there's an outside the city way to handle this, I don't think we should. I don't think we should be murdering nobody in the city. We should be taking care of it outside the city.
I'm fine with that.
Because I think the sneaky part is going to be getting into Lovelace's office and back out.
Right.
Here's a map of the Mana Wastes.
Save murder where you can.
Oh, I'm sorry. Martell is to the west of Alkenstar, not the east. That's my bad for not knowing how to read.
Oh, so it's coming in from the west.
It's coming in from the west.
Okay.
Into the city of Alkenstar. And that means it goes through this gate up here in the northwestern corner of Alkenstar in the Steamhaven district.
Okay,
perfect. I couldn't help but notice that Mattel, it's this route basically follows the river.
It does.
To get into Alkenstar.
Yes. And you can even ride a river boat from Martell to Alkenstar.
That's pretty cool. Maybe we should have a water sprite.
Yeah.
I was going to say, maybe we could have, maybe Luton could, like, create some kind of wall of water in front of the stagecoach.
You don't even need a river for that.
No, we don't. She is the river.
That's right. Good point. Okay. Yep.
So, walk me through. Re-summarize this plan for me. Step one.
Yeah. Me too.
Step one for Darnayru is I am going to scout the route. How far is it from Mattel to Alkenstar?
Martell is
definitely Mattel. Just kidding.
It's like 10 miles to the west.
How many barbecues?
That's not too bad.
It's not far.
I would like to scout like half of the up to halfway.
Okay.
To Martell. And being, you know, just checking out all the landscape and seeing all the places that I might be walking by, ambush points.
Do you have Mana Wastes lore? I don't think you do, right?
No, I do not.
So I will allow you to roll a perception check or an underworld lore check in order to determine an ambush position.
That's what I'm looking for, is ambush locations.
I'm picking up what you're putting.
Is it aidable?
If you aid this, you can't do anything else. So yes, it is aidable.
So I don't plan on doing anything else because I don't have
some of these. Really? You may aid.
You can do whatever you want. It's your imagination. Your world.
Yeah. Whatever you guys want to do.
Or what if we scout a position to find the stagecoach and sneak into...
That's what my initial thought was, but I wanted to...
Unseen.
Yeah. Instead of...
Instead of hijacking.
Hijacking.
It.
Instead of a hoist.
It's totally an option.
That way they have no idea, and then we get in there and slip in.
I've seen so many Westerns, so my mind went to hold up.
I knew that's what your mind went. Mine was what Brittany's saying.
This is a Western that
it literally is.
Bingo.
A Western. Though.
Also has some clockworkiness.
I only rolled a 19
to scout.
Right,
natty one.
Okay,
ooh.
So 18.
Yeah, so it's worse.
What was it to aid?
You could not find a location that you feel comfortable doing this outside the city.
Gross.
Ugh.
That doesn't mean you can't just take the risk. It just means that the risk is different.
Wouldn't it be, if we are to sneak onto the stagecoach, wouldn't it be easier to do that inside the city under the cover of the bustle?
I think so, yes, because I think there's more distractions in the city, personally.
Also, there's more
opportunities for gilded gunners to come at us in the city.
True. Or shield marshals?
Shield marshals.
Yeah. More Sorry. Shield marshals, yeah.
Luton, roll a perception check or an Alkenstar lore check, please.
That's what I should have rolled.
That's what I gave you the option to 30? Roll both of those things.
Whoa.
No, I didn't get Alkenstar lore.
Oh, I got
lore.
You. You got Underworld lore.
30?
Yeah, 30.
So
Luton finds a location just inside the gate where the road leading to the Vault of Secrets goes through kind of a choke point. It narrows down in the bustle and the hustle. Yeah. Well, this is a Smokeside gate, and so Smokeside is a lot more densely packed buildings and homes,
yep.
And they're all kind of shanty-like. And Luton discovers a point where the stagecoach is going to pass right through, and there are alleys on either side. You feel confident that you could hide in these alleys to do either a hijacking or a jump on the stagecoach undetected.
Thing. Okay, that's good.
Do we know, or can we find out how big the stagecoach is? Can it accommodate all of us?
Yeah, the stagecoach is 10 feet wide by 15 feet long. So wow. That's 2 squares okay. by 3 squares. So 6 squares inside the stagecoach
okay.
of space, to put it mechanically.
Okay.
So it definitely can accommodate all of you inside.
Okay.
So there's what's on the stagecoach?
The coach is pulled by 6 mechanical horses.
What's inside it, I mean? So is this inside like materials?
Documentation. There might be a little bit of gold. It's just resource movement from Martell to Alkenstar to be.
So there's no people inside, or no, we don't know.
You don't believe there would be any people inside based on the information that Phoebe gave you that I didn't. Fully role play, but whatever. I'm telling you now.
Maybe I missed this, but can we just decommission the horses? Stop the coach?
That's a possibility.
Did anyone have magic?
The coach is your way in.
Yeah, we need we need it to get in there.
Okay.
We just don't know whether we should take it over and drive it in as if we're, in disguise as
the shield marshals,
or whether we should sneak onto it undetected.
Do you think that the four of you can reasonably be disguised as shield marshals?
No.
That'd be the question to ask.
That's a lot of roles.
We have a jaguar and a tiny fairy.
An 18-inch tall shield marshal.
Right.
Most deadly of all shield marshals, by far, right?
For sure.
Highly unusual looking.
Yeah.
Would it be highly unusual for a sprite to be a shield marshal?
Most of the shield marshals are humans or dwarves.
Yeah.
Like 99% of them.
Maybe they've got a diversity program going. They could.
It's about time.
Is this a covered? Is this like a covered wagon looking stagecoach?
Mm-hmm.
Or it would be 2 of us.
Yes.
Are there 2 shield marshals, like, driving?
The 2 shield marshals are acting as guards.
On the front?
They're likely on top of the stagecoach.
I mean, we could do 2 of us, posing as shield marshals and then the rest of us inside.
That's smart.
Yeah.
Here's what we do.
The civilians will likely be driving it.
Okay.
The accountants, mm-hmm. you mean? Yeah.
Okay. Here's what we do. We dig holes on the road. Cover ourselves with... something.
Dirt.
A tarp. When it rides
obviously.
Over us, we grab on and
on
just ride it all the way in.
I could probably, it's not going to be cruising through town super fast. I can go invisible for a while and I can hop in the back and sneak my way in there probably. As long as I don't roll.
Darnayru
really
versus the Vault of Secrets.
No, I'm just saying, I have a way to get
find
in.
A way
I'm saying
to
maybe
let
we can do
in.
Different ways to get on the stagecoach. I'm saying if you want to lay down, you're kind of big though. I don't know if they're going to be able to drive over you without.
I would dig a big hole.
He's medium sized.
A big hole.
He's mechanically appropriately sized.
Yeah.
We need to create a diversion.
I like a stall, a diversion to make them have to stop.
And pay attention to something else, and then we all pile in.
That's
the back.
What should definitely happen.
Why don't I act like someone who's like lost, stop?
Why don't we get the Shumfollow Punks to
that
do
that? That was
exactly
my thought, too, yes.
Oh, the Shumfollow Punks, yeah. Hootie hoo!
Hootie hoo!
Hootie hoo has been cast. Yeah.
No, save that! You're supposed to save Hootie hoo!
What do you need? I heard the hootie hoo. I am here. This is how you summon best NPC ever.
That could be a good idea.
That's
though.
A great idea, Brittany. Let's do that.
Is that what you're going to do? I like it.
I'm down.
Well, we can't be a part of the diversion because we all need to be in the stagecoach.
Correct.
So
right?
That's why we call the hootie hoo.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. We call the hootie hoo. Okay. That's my vote for
we
that.
We have a location. Voting, we that. Have a method.
Yes. That's my vote. Okay. I thought you were coming up with another idea.
You put this plan into action. You use the Shum Follow Punks?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. That's the version. Glaznix Bricks. That's his legal last name. His nickname is Leaf Blaster.
Yeah. He should change it.
So Glaz Leaf Blaster and his cronies, the loyal and ever faithful.
And zealous.
Yeah. Now monk attired, not chewing on gunpowder anymore. Right. Some of them visibly going through withdrawals and healing from scaration on their mouths and stuff where they've
saved them. You know,
their lips have been blown off and other things.
Now they're vegan.
They all look a lot healthier.
Yeah.
They have all gained an appropriate amount of weight.
They can't be vegan, then.
Yeah. You're so controversial.
I'm going to give so my brave. Give myself. There we go.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Well, double down. Where did they get their protein? Anyway. They show up on the day of, and they say, "We have a good plan put together, yes. Let's run it by me one more time."
Oh, gosh.
And I need all of you to roll either a stealth or deception check to aid Glaz as he sets up the diversion.
Deception.
Stealth.
Come on, baby. Come on, baby.
20 total.
23 total.
25.
32.
With a 20. He's got a, yeah.
Ooh.
Just tell me about 20. How many times do I have to tell you about this? You gotta tell
Don't
me.
Don't dad talk me.
No, you gotta tell me about the natty 20s,
How
bro.
How many times?
I got a natty 20.
You're the underseller in natty chief. Natty 20. In chief. If there was an underseller club, you'd be the president.
You know what? That has to be a nice brand name for like a underseller clothing company. Club? Underseller Ooh, yeah, club? Would. I'd wear that.
Yeah.
That's baller. Thank right. you.
And the logo can be the tiniest stitching ever that says natural 20. You're killing me. Trying to give you advantages over here.
Just tell me about the sandwich.
You know what? A 32 is not a critical success.
Why not?
Because by itself, a 32 is not a critical success.
Right.
But a natural 20
bumps
up the success.
You're doing the nerd thing again.
So you got a critical success.
Thank you.
I don't want to give it to you, but you got it.
I'll take my hero
Glaz. How to trigger a DM. Also known as the autobiography of Duval Gibson.
That'd be a dope book.
I'd watch the movie.
Don't want to read it.
Totally watch the movie. It's like the 84 Dune.
The LeBron James autobiography.
Yeah.
How to trigger.
And like John Q era Denzel plays.
Yeah.
Plays Duval. Yeah. What? I'm
more of a Virtuosity era Denzel.
Wow. Yeah, take it back.
For
okay.
Duval.
Not Training Day for sure.
Training Day
okay.
for sure.
Day. Yeah.
King Kong!
King Kong ain't got nothing on me. That's not what he says.
Though. I mean, if you're going to Denzel, you got to Denzel all the way.
Right.
Can't hold back.
Let's not Denzel all the way.
You never go full Denzel.
Yeah, we're not happy, Denzel.
That's awesome.
I'm sorry.
You are confident.
Delirious.
That Glaz can do this diversion.
Yeah.
Woo!
The day arrives. The stagecoach rolls through town. You see the clockwork horses come around the corner. You see Glaz and his monk festooned troop.
Yeah.
Standing in the middle of the street, praying. And they're just acting like idiots. Yeah, they are. They're doing the Shum Follow chant. Right? You're packed in the alley. Varg, Luton, and Kal-El on one side, Kairos and Darnayru on the other.
It's like that part of Dead Presidents. You ever see that?
Yeah.
That.
Your face is painted white. Your eyes blacked out. You guys are ready to do all the crimes.
Yeah, let's go.
You're ready to do all the crimes.
Stagecoach rolls up to the diversion and stops. The guards on top of the stagecoach have their guns out, and they're shouting, "Get out of the road! Get out of the road!" The drivers, two civilians, are sitting there. They don't even have reins in their hands. The clockwork horses are doing their own thing. Mm-hmm. And you see them get down and start to reprogram the horses, which gives you the impression that this stagecoach doesn't have very long before Glaz and his friends are about to be trampled by it.
Okay? Oh my gosh, okay.
It's time to do it. I now need an athletics check from all of you.
No!
Not athletics!
Yes, athletics!
The only one.
I did PE. Okay, come on.
Oh, God.
Come on. Can't make an argument for acrobatics.
No. Yeah, you can do flips and stuff to get there, but you gotta hang on.
Dang
yeah.
it.
25 total.
Come on, you're on there.
You're better than me. I got 22.
32.
Is this another buried lead?
No, it's okay. not.
Okay.
No, it's not.
I got 13.
If you don't do it, it don't happen.
I got it at 13.
25, 32, 22, and 13. The DC to successfully hang on the underside of the stagecoach only has to be passed by two characters.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
thank goodness.
But the DC is 25.
Oh, my gosh. The largest and smallest members of our
you
party
are
passes.
Successful and able to help Kairos and Darnayru get the grip that they need to hang on to the underside of the stagecoach.
Oh. Let's go.
Kal-El safely stowed in the bag of holding. No. I do think we do have to roll an athletics check for Kal-El. He has to be able to hang on.
Yes, you're right.
Or follow behind.
Kal-El's got a pretty good athletics.
He does have a really good athletics.
Come on, Kal-El. Come on, Kal-El.
It's all
Come on,
hinging
Kal-El.
On this.
Let's go.
Oh, no.
She's joking.
Well, we had two pass, so as long as it doesn't critically fail, I think
I don't
we're
think
okay.
She's
31.
Oh, okay.
31?
She's joking.
What was the sad face for?
I was doing math.
She had to do math.
That had nothing to do with the role. It's all the math. That's fantastic.
I feel that.
That was awesome.
After a moment, the clockwork horses start back up. You hear Glaz.
Hey, oi, you tried to run over me. We're playing in the street here.
Good job, Glaz.
And he gets out of the way. And you see him give like a comical like, wink to you guys. It's real subtle.
Hey, yeah. Monkey goblin, I do what I do. You know? There's no explanation for me.
And he does a bunch of flips and disappears into the sunset.
Amazing.
Love it.
Oh, man, I'm glad that worked.
About 10 minutes go by, and you hear the stagecoach pull up and pass over a metallic-like sound. The hoof beats are falling on metal and stone. You feel the stagecoach rocking left and right, not just forward and backward, as the ground that it pulls over is unsettled. You hear a mechanism start up. The ground shifts violently just for a moment, and you start to descend underground.
Elevator go down.
Yes. Into the vault of secrets.
Yes.
Light bulbs.
I'm really impressed. You guys put a plan together. carried it out. It was successful.
Yeah, that we got lucky.
You did this at level 7 when the DCs are harder.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're supposed to be level 8, but you're not. Because Muglin's still out
okay.
there.
Okay.
Just take the knife and twist it.
Jeez. Yeah.
Jordan, you know what? It was the last twist. Because you all just leveled up.
Yay! Woo! Let's go!
Level 8.
Kal-El is enormous.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. He's size large now.
I didn't even want to. So as you're traveling along, hanging on the underside of this thing, Kal-El grows in size.
He took a Mario mushroom.
He did.
Yeah, so what's that feat? It's like Incredible Companion or something like that? That druids get access to a level 8? It's ridiculous. So he becomes a savage companion, I think is what she
took.
That's
amazing.
I don't even know what that is.
He's size large.
That's crazy.
He's like the size of a hyena don.
Hyena don. Hi, Don.
Luton's going to be like riding a Clydesdale.
Yeah, because I'm the same size.
Yeah.
Yeah, Luton did not grow.
No.
Yes.
Can awesome. A tiny creature
Can I fly yet?
Ride a large?
I don't know. We have to look at this.
I think level 9 is when you get your next ancestry feat.
Yep.
Sweet.
That is true. It skips 8.
Are you guys excited?
I'm so excited.
You're down.
I've had my
vault?
Level up prepped for like a month now.
Same.
I'm so ready.
I have all my selections already.
I was mean and I teased Jordan about it A while ago.
I feel like if we had taken over the stagecoach, would we have been able to drive the horse?
Yeah, like finish the job.
If they were programmed.
Intimidation checks instead of athletic checks. Can you guys see the map?
Yeah. I'm looking at it right now.
So you descend into this area where the stagecoaches are all parked on this X formation. That's the elevator.
Cool.
Okay.
As you do that, this room is gigantic, Gil. It's like 17 squares wide by 8 squares tall. It's this huge parking lot for stagecoaches. And as the Shumfallow 5 descend in this elevator, the horses automatically do all of this stuff. They're pre-programmed, and they park the stagecoach in the upper right corner of the room, and then the horses like detach and walk away out the left side of the map here. There's a 10-foot wide tunnel that's just barely enough room for Kal-El now. The shield marshals depart. They get down, and the two bookkeepers go with them, and they go down the right tunnel. And they're out of sight.
Huh.
You're alone.
Great.
In the parking garage of this stagecoach area.
We did it, you guys.
About 60 feet underground, and you see two doors on the wall opposite you. One of them says 14 and the other one says 15.
Mm-hmm. Let's definitely go into 15, guys. Just kidding.
Yeah. And we'll find out what happens next week.
Can't wait. Can't wait. I can't wait to level 8.
That's insane.
That is insane.
I'm so high level play. It's coming your way.
Insane in the brain.
When the Shumfallow 5 hit level 8. That's what I was going
to
say.
It's time to play.
It's time to play. I'm excited.
I'm excited.
Level 8 is like, it's a big one. You get extra spells. You get all kinds of cool stuff. So tune in next week, Shum followers.
See you in a week.
Shum follow to you.
Dice of Thunder and the Dice of Thunder podcast uses trademarks and or copyrights owned by Paizo Inc. used under Paizo's community use policy. We are expressly prohibited from charging you to use or access this content. Dice of Thunder and the Dice of Thunder podcast is not published, endorsed, or specifically approved by Paizo. For more information about Paizo Inc. and Paizo products, visit paizo.com.